from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Royteam.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. Happy Wednesday. Hope everyone's doing well. It no longer feels like Monday. It does feel like Wednesday, officially.
Oh, you back? Okay, good, yeah. good. All right, Ursula.
Took two hours, but I'm good.
You know what we need to do? We need to pull out the pillows and fight. Let's get to it. Agree to Disagree, brought to you by Johnny Tsunami. One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
As of today, Governor Jay Inslee is at his lowest approval rating. His peak approval started at the beginning of the pandemic and lasted just through the summer. G, you said you would give him a C- earlier in the show. So, Ursula, what's your letter grade for Governor Inslee?
I'm going to be a little bit more generous, and I'm going to say I give him a solid B. And I say this because of the things that he has done throughout the pandemic. Yes, some of them have been mind-boggling, but he, from the very beginning, put livelihoods in terms of health and trying to get as many people to survive and live through the pandemic health-wise, and I agree with that decision. Now, some of the other things that he has done, I don't agree with, including how he didn't hold anyone at ESD accountable for the complete disaster that happened and all that fraud that happened. I think that perhaps he waited too long to change or to step in with the school's decision. And then now I think he doesn't have a good enough plan to get out of the pandemic. But given how we have fared so much better than so many states, I would say I give him a B. And just to be clear on the approval ratings thing, this is from a King 5 poll, and it says he's at his lowest approval ratings since before the pandemic. But just to be clear, right now he has 48% approval of the job that he's doing, as opposed to 36% who approve. In January of 2020, he had a 41% approval rating. So he actually was lower in January of last year before the pandemic, but he did peak and he went up he was 60% approval rating at the peak of the pandemic, or let's say last summer, and then now he's down by 12 points.
I give him a C-. And the first semester, I give him an A. The second semester of this whole thing, I give him a D. And all he has to do now is get ready to take his final exam. And with the final exam, he has the opportunity, Ursula, to lift that grade up. I've sat down with him. No, I really didn't, but just bear with me here. I sat down with Governor Jay Inslee. I let him know what was going to be on the final exam. I let him know and how to prepare for this test. And what I told him is this. On the final exam is going to be a question for you, Governor Jay Inslee. It is going to be simple. It's going to say, how do we move forward? And your answer and how we move forward and giving us actual targets and things that we need to do, that is going to predicate you getting a very good grade on this final exam, and you could get your a final grade up to a B. Do you like that, Ursula?
I do. See, you set up your expectations. They weren't totally clear, but they were pretty clear. You need to do a better job of getting us out of this. What's your plan? I got it. I like it. Okay,
right.
Laura.
In South Carolina, parents will be allowed to decide whether or not their kids have to wear a mask at school. Gee, do you think the parents should have this kind of power?
No, they should not. The same way you shouldn't let your kids go to school in pajama bottoms and rubber boots. Oh, wait, they already do that. Sorry, Ursula. No, Ursula, they should not have any kind of power and be able to dictate whether or not their kids wear masks or not. Wear the mask!
Or if you're not going to wear the mask, you don't want your kids to wear them, you do have a choice. Keep your kids at home and continue the hybrid learning model or the remote model, and that way you don't have to follow the rules at the school. Same thing if you want your kids to have peanut butter and you know that someone has a severe allergy in the room. If you really want to make sure that they can eat peanut butter wherever they're at, go ahead and have them do that at home. I honestly think that it's really not the kids who have the issue. It's the parents who are making it a big deal. And so many parents are making it more political than it needs to be.
Representative Liz Cheney of Wyoming was ousted from her leadership position in the House Republican Party this morning after saying that Trump's claims of a stolen election are a lie. It's a defining moment, and some are saying this could split the GOP into two parties. Ursula, do you think we need a new party just for Trump supporters?
I don't know if it should be just for Trump supporters, but it should be for maybe this new version of the GOP that doesn't believe in what are traditional conservative values. I mean, clearly when we talk to Michael Medved or when we talk to some other, would you say, more moderate Republicans, they don't agree with what, you know, this new version of the party is. So I look at it and say, why not create multiple parties like they have in other parts of the world? It seems to work. Because not everybody fits into one or the other. Even when we talk on this show, a lot of times it's, hey, we feel this way and this way on these social issues, but when it comes to law and order, when it comes to fiscal things, we believe in this. And I think that's a lot of people. And maybe the two parties, people don't feel like they fit in to those buckets that well. So why not more than a two-party system?
Ursula, you keep talking about the rest of the world and how the rest of the world is doing things. Let me tell you something, Ursula. Sometimes the way we are doing things at our house has been working. The two-party system, the dominant two-party system, has been very successful. There's no other place in the United States. Nobody's doing it like we do it. And then we get to the point where there's a possibility of multiple parties. And then let's just say you have this smaller party. Then they win the nomination, and now they have a president, and now they're running the country. No, let's stick to what has been working. I'm not saying.
Is it working, though? I mean,
well,
is
hold
it
on.
Working?
Hear me out. I'm not saying we ain't had problems. Every family has problems. But there has been success. There has been continued change, maybe not fast enough. And I'll tell you what's not working. What's not working is what we saw on January 6th. So I think that I want the GOP, I want the Republican Party to stay intact. I want them to get things back in order, because I am sad about the Liz Cheney deal. I'm sad when I read reports about 100 Republicans are meeting together to try to split up the GOP. I don't think that is good for our country. I'll stand with that one.
But you know that the number of people who consider themselves independent, that is growing too, right? So obviously, I'm not the only one that thinks maybe the two-party system is not working.
Yeah, and you and I talked about this. You and I are that way. We talked about this. I don't consider myself a Democrat. I don't consider myself liberal, if you will. Because the reason why I don't consider myself those things is because it just depends on the topic. What are we talking about? We talking about crime? If you have a conversation with me about crime, I probably lean a little bit on the conservative side. You want to talk to me about maybe some social issues? Sure. I might lean a little bit on the liberal side of things. I'm not that one person. So I would say you're right, Ursula. There are a lot of independents, but do you feel like that's where?
See, again, I go back to, do the two parties really suffice? Is this, I mean, otherwise you oftentimes will end up also with candidates, neither candidate you like, because it's just the two-party system. And then you end up with people who are kind of okay for both parties. Right? I mean, you know, how often has that happened, too? So something to consider.
Several groups marched through Bellevue on Tuesday night, protesting an appreciation dinner for law enforcement that was held at the Hyatt Regency. Ursula, you said that you think we should stop covering these smaller protest stories. Why is that?
Well, one of the things that I noticed is that we didn't give it a ton of attention. And what happened, even though there was all this planning, maybe you should say, from these groups, what was it, like 30 people who showed up? 30 mm-hmm. people wearing black, carrying umbrellas, hoping that they can cause mayhem. And then there were like four or five times as many cops there, and nothing happened. And I think so often, what were they trying to protest? What were they trying to do? What was their message? It gets lost, and I think it so often devolves into mayhem that if we just ignore it, perhaps they're just going to stop because all they want is attention. So I'm happy to say that last night, nothing happened. Police were ready. It was a big nothing.
Yesterday, we had Kevin Cole on from Cairo 7 TV, and I knew that he was out there covering this, and I hit you up, Ursula. I said, hey, we need to have him on the show because he's out there and he's covering it.
And also because we like him and he was great yesterday.
Absolutely. And then you said to me, maybe we should stop. Maybe we should kind of ignore those things. There's only 30 people. And then by us covering it, it kind of adds to it. And I didn't see your vision on that, but now I do. I totally see your vision, and I totally understand what you're saying now. So I don't know. Disagree to disagree is a little rough because I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah. 100%. So, well, I mean, and one of the things I want to point out is that Bellevue PD, they were prepared.
Yep.
They were having none of it. They clamped down on it. Nothing was able to happen. The so-called protesters got bored, left, and there was no problem. And so often, if you think about it, if you give so much coverage, it's almost like you're encouraging them in a way mm-hmm. to misbehave because they know they're going to get the cameras there and they're going to get the reporters out there. And then it's going to be this front page thing or whatever. And this is barely a blip. So and this is coming from me as a news person, but I strongly believe that what we say on the news should be a reflection of society. 30 people in downtown Bellevue. How many people did that really affect? Nobody.
Schools have partially reopened for in-person learning, but our state isn't mandating vaccines yet. Gee, should schools have been reopened without mandatory vaccines for students or at all?
They shouldn't have been. And this is where Ursula and I we're gonna disagree. I think schools should not have reopened. They should have remained closed. And the reason why I say that is because I believe that schools are a petri dish for COVID these days. And I just think that it is some schools, maybe private schools, are able to handle these situations a little bit better than, say, some of the public schools. And I think everyone is doing the best they can. Let's keep it a buck here. Before COVID, before this pandemic, we were already having problems with some school districts not getting funding, some school districts not getting adequate school supplies. We had that problem before this pandemic. So in this case, I think the decision to open up the schools was a rushed decision, even though I was one, like I wanted them to open it.
Yeah, we've completely reversed our decision positions on this.
Sometimes you come back and I was wrong. I don't think the school should have opened.
And I think that they probably could have opened earlier. And you're right. There were issues of fully funding education prior to the pandemic. However, education of our children and the social and mental well-being of our children should be a top priority. And we have talked about how they have suffered and how the remote learning, in many cases, not for lack of trying, but it didn't work, and many students were failing. So I think that everything from trying to prioritize teachers to get the vaccine, to try to get it reopened, to make sure the schools have what they need, whether it's outdoor tents so they can do outdoor tents. I will point out that I have experience with a private school, and I know everything that was done to get that school reopened. And it did reopen considerably earlier than many of the public schools. But I think it should have been a what Governor Inslee did to get these schools and the state's school superintendent did here just a few weeks ago, I think maybe could have been a few months before that, just in hindsight.
Real quick, Ursula. Yes. And I'm glad you said that. You said that you have, you know, yours is dealing with the private school.
Yes.
We're on the same page, though, when it comes to that there are situations where there's some schools that have better resources.
Absolutely.
And right?
Absolutely.
Than others.
And yes.
Go ahead.
Well, and that's where I would say that the emphasis should have been recognizing more quickly that there are certain schools where kids just have zero internet access, or they are not eating, or, you know, all the things that some of these schools in these areas that are not as well served, put the priority in that so we could get kids back in, because earlier than when we finally recognized it, it was clear that, yes, kids could get this virus, but it wasn't going to be it's serious enough, but it wasn't going to be as serious. So making these choices, prioritizing, I think the kids and schools should have been prioritized higher.
I am happy about one thing going forward. I am glad that there are a lot of people. I'm glad that there are a lot of people that are really concerned and concerned for the kids' well-being and how they need to be back in school and how important that is. Let's keep that same energy when it comes to all of these schools having adequate resources to help all of these kids thrive. Not just some kids, all kids.
Agree, 100%.
Dry cleaners need your business. A trade organization estimated that 30% of the industry will be gone by the time the pandemic is over. One major reason, everyone's working from home. So G, you're at home right now. Is the pandemic changing how formal your clothes are at the moment? And how much dry cleaning do you have to do these days?
No, the pandemic has not changed my clothes or changed what I'm wearing. I'm a dry cleaner. It has changed how often I go to the dry cleaners. I don't go as often as I used to. I used to go once a week like clockwork for the dry cleaners. Now I'm probably like every 3 weeks or so when it comes to the dry clean. So it has changed that, Ursula.
My clothes have definitely changed during the pandemic. For one thing, if I'm going to be perfectly honest, I've had to go up a size.
Boy, you talk about keeping it a buck. Gosh, I love you.
Oh, good thing I didn't get rid of all my clothes on that other size. But in any case, so that has been one thing. And then, I try to keep the dry cleaners busy because I don't want them to. We love our dry cleaner. And so my husband and our son, they still bring their clothes there. But for me, I'm all about the casual wear. I'm all about the sets.
Laura, do you go to the dry cleaners or what?
No, I'm 25. What am I dry cleaning?
Oh, is it an age thing? Oh, okay.
I don't know. I just don't really have clothes that are nice enough for me to dry clean them.
All right. Perfect. Hey, coming up at 11:33, Heather Bosch. You guys know Heather. Yes. She's going to join us to talk about a new E. coli outbreak. You want to tune her in for that? It's G and Ursula.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us on the G and Ursula Show. This hour of our show is brought to you by Guardian Operations. We have had a very busy news day today, and it doesn't stop. In this segment, we want to talk about this E. coli outbreak, which has now spread beyond King County. And I've asked Heather Bosch to check it out and get us some information. So what do we know?
Yeah, Ursula and G, this has affected 7 kids so far in King County. 6 had to be hospitalized. A young woman and a child in Snohomish County also became ill. Now, this is E. coli 0517H7, the strain that sickened hundreds of Washington residents back in 1993. 4 children died. Food safety attorney Bill Marler told our news partner Cairo 7.
It's unfortunate. Yeah, E. coli 0157, which is a Shiga toxin producing E. coli, a toxin is produced which gets into the children's bloodstreams.
It can cause cramping, nausea, diarrhea, vomiting, and in severe cases, organ failure. Now, that early 90s outbreak, it was linked to undercooked hamburgers at a fast food restaurant. E. coli is found in the gut of cattle, which is why it can turn up in hamburger. It can also be found in unpasteurized milk, and it can turn up in lettuce and other produce when runoff from cattle ends up in fields. Health officials are still working to figure out the source of this latest outbreak.
Okay, so they haven't figured out what is common between, you said it's moved into Snohomish County, so it involves a kid and a couple of people, like younger adults.
Yeah, one younger adult in Snohomish County, they're interviewing all of these families to find out what they might have in common. That's usually how they trace back to figure out what the source is. And then normally when they find the source, they will issue a recall and then we'll all know what's going on.
I'm reading in one of our stories that they think it could be related to produce. Which,
possible.
If in that case, it's just a good reminder to make sure that you wash your produce.
True.
Go ahead.
I have to tell you, though, you can't wash the E. coli out. So you've got to really pay attention to those recalls. You can cook it out, but it's really hard to get the temperature on a piece of wilted romaine lettuce.
Oh, that would be
so
true.
So essentially, and we saw this in romaine lettuce a few years back, the same E. coli strain. So really listen for the recalls. If you're cooking produce and you want to be extra careful, I would cook everything, you know, really well, make sure the hamburgers are done, and go for that pasteurized milk and pasteurized produce products, like those mixed veggie fruit drinks. Get the pasteurized kind if you want to be really careful about this, Ursula.
Wait a minute.
G has a question.
Because you gave me, growing up, I had a father that would only give me my meat well done, steaks well right. done, hamburgers well done. And this is why as a kid, I couldn't stand steak. I was the only one of my friends that did not like steak. It's because the way my father prepared it.
Well, so it was like a hockey puck.
Yes. So hold on.
Well, here's the thing about steak.
Okay.
The reason hamburger is vulnerable because it gets all mixed up together. So that's why occasionally the bacteria from the gut of the cattle get into the hamburger. You're a little better off if you use steak and you want a more rare cut of meat. And you're much better off if you know where your meat is coming from. If you know the local source where you're buying it from, the grocery store or the farmer down the lane, that gives you a better sense of what happens to your meat, what it goes through. And by all means, ask the farmer, ask the grocery store, where does this come from? You know, who's processing this? That's a good way to go.
Okay.
Hamburger's still G.
Wait a minute.
Heather,
are they going to
come on?
They might.
Excuse me.
Don't E. coli shame me, G.
I'm not. No. I'm not doing that. Yeah. I'm just saying I'm going in and I'm looking for the best deals and price.
True.
I never thought about asking, like, hey, where does this come from?
She's looking at the manager's specials, which sometimes I look and go, okay, this doesn't look like it's been refrigerated.
This is not very special.
I have never told you that before. The fact that you know, that's exactly right. Do you know how much I love the manager special when you pull off that little tab?
Oh, yeah, I do too. But every once in a while I look at a coat, that's probably a good reason it's on sale.
Hey, Heather, before you go, something happened when you tried to get your second vaccine.
Oh, I was so disappointed. I went in to get my second vaccine. I filled out the paperwork. I waited in line. I got all the way to the front and the pharmacist said, you have the Moderna vaccine. You have to wait 4 full weeks before dose number 2, which I did not know. Pfizer, you have to wait 3 weeks before dose number 2. And that's because, the CDC says it's not clear how effective that second shot will be if you get it too soon. So,
and I had gotten the Moderna as well, but I went to the same place. I went to the Seattle Indian Health Board, and they were the ones that
scheduled
my thing. And so this
I'd be sneaky and go in and get that second shot done because I kept hearing about 2 weeks. But no, Moderna, 4 weeks. Pfizer, 3 weeks. Johnson & Johnson's one-on-one. So in about 10 days, I'm going to be lining up again because
I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot.
You knew I was going to sneak in a little Lin-Manuel Miranda's there. I just had to. Sorry.
Hey, speaking of shots, we got to just, because we like to keep it a buck on the show.
Right.
Chef was supposed to come back today.
Oh.
And he got his second Moderna shot.
Yeah.
And he actually got a bit of a fever.
So, a tough one, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll find out his experience. But just want to make sure, yes, some people get side effects.
Yeah.
I got tired. I got Moderna, too. And so we'll have him share his story tomorrow.
Absolutely. But you're not actually getting the illness. It's just your body reaction. It's showing that your little antibodies are working.
Yeah. Thank you, Heather.
You're welcome.
I always love having Heather in. It's always makes me think about something. And now I think I'm going to be the one that goes in the store now, Ursula, and says, hey, excuse me, can I talk to you? Where is this from?
My work here is done.
Thank you, Heather.
What farm did this beef come from?
Yeah. But wait, what do I say if they say, oh, so do you know your farms? And I'm like, no, I don't.
You know what? Let's do it. Let's do an experiment. I bet they do actually know. They probably do.
No. I'm not saying do they know. What if they ask me, oh, do you know your different farms? And then I don't know what to say because I don't know any other farms.
Well, you can Google, and then you can Google and see if they have a record and if there's any issues. So
okay. All right. Coming up next, it's time for your texts, your feedback, and then Ursula's Words to Live By. This is Jean Ursula. It's G and Ursula. Happy Wednesday, everybody. It's now time for your text, feedback, and then Ursula's Words to Live By. Ursula.
And we're going to start with the topic of whether it's time to break up America's two-party system. 206 says, oh, Ursula, thank you. I've been hoping for a multiple-party system for years. I don't believe anyone is served in a two-party system in which a person who believes in limited government has to support those who challenge equal rights, in which one who votes for the environment must support limiting gun rights. We need more than two parties.
253 says, it may hurt in the short term, but more moderate conservatives need to stick to our guns and morals and openly advocate for a shift away from the Trump extremists instead of embracing extremists, as has been done on the left.
253 says, OMG, G, that's exactly how I feel. Tell me the topic and then I'll tell you my thoughts. It's not just along party lines. My answers are along my lines. And sometimes that's just not a convenient little package.
On Jay Inslee's approval rating, 360 says, try taking a poll outside of King County. No, that's not a good idea because he would not pass that test.
Except that this was a statewide poll as far as I...
Oh, it was?
No. Yeah.
I thought it was...
Was it just in King County? If it's just in King County, that's not even worth doing a poll. Okay, on the stabbing in Tacoma over mask wearing, had story, 206 says, I'm not surprised. We're a year into wearing masks now, and people still have to be told, reminded, and they're mean about it. I get at least one person a day that has to yell at me about wearing a mask in my own restaurant.
Wow. On buying hotels to house the homeless, 360 says, how are they going to keep the hotel safe from destruction like what has happened in Renton? I love the idea, but there needs to be a better plan.
Yeah, and what happened in Renton was a disaster with that. I think it was a Best Western and
Red Lion like, or something like that?
Yeah, Red Lion, yeah. They were allowed to, you know, just basically run free, and there wasn't a lot of oversight. We cannot have that happen again. On abolishing the police, 206 says, gee, I think I get what you're saying. Society's so focused on debating sound bites, real debates and discussions are almost impossible.
It's what we try to do every day. 206 says, just a thought. Maybe the police who are leaving have done so because they were quite possibly might be a bit racist, which would be good. Get rid of bad apples, so to speak.
Regarding Art Langley and his run for mayor, 253 says, at first blush, this latest candidate for mayor sounds exactly like the thing that Seattle needs right now. Unfortunately, he probably doesn't stand much of a chance because the voters of Seattle keep moving further and further radical with each election. I'm going to be honest. I loved hearing what Art Langley had to say, and I want to hear more.
Check this out. And I loved hearing what he had to say, too. But I actually kind of agree with this text. There's just a new world, and it's real fast, and hashtag this and hashtag that. I like what Art Langley had to say, but I think we'll see. On landlords leaving Seattle over renting regulations, 206 says, say goodbye to all the good landlords.
425 says, speaking as a landlord of a single-family home, I've been stuck with bills and debts by two previous tenants and $5,000 in damages. If it were not for real estate values climbing, I would have already bailed and sold this home. The home is in Snohomish County. My wife and I have agreed that if Snohomish County starts to follow King County's lead, we are going to sell. If anyone thinks being a landlord is lucrative, they have no idea what they're talking about.
253 says, my wife and I have gambled on two renters, one family with bad credit and a mom with a contested divorce problem and children. Both situations worked out well. In both cases, their situations improved and they moved. Helping them felt really good, but under the environment we're in, we are not renting to anyone else and we are selling. And Ursula, I just want to give a shout out to one of my landlords when I could not pay my rent for 2 months, and they gave me grace and allowed me to stay and didn't kick me out. Thank you.
That's awesome. Okay, we got a ton of feedback, and it was all over the place on the vehicular homicide charge against the woman who had just posted on Facebook. Lisa sent us an email and said, I am disgusted by the way your station has been playing the sob story of this murderer rather than focus on the 78-year-old victim. May he rest in peace. She posted on Facebook minutes before that crash. No excuse.
425 says, I'm on my motorcycle all the time. 3 out of 5 cars that I pass are on their phones. It is a horrible problem. Honestly, I am surprised more people don't die. I've had people change lanes right into my motorcycle and had to swerve out of the way because they were on the phone and did not see me at all. It's a weekly problem. It's time we start writing tickets like crazy and putting people in jail for this. Ursula, it's time for your words to live by.
Just a reminder, during these polarizing times, when you get into an agreement with or disagreement with someone, show respect even to people who maybe don't deserve it. Not as a reflection of their character, but as a reflection of yours. That is a quote from Dave Willis, and I like it.
Good stuff, Ursula. Ursula, great show.
Thank you, G. It was Monday, but it turned into Wednesday.
Laura Scott, thank you for your help, my friend.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yep. And is that you, Paul?
It is me.
Just want to make sure. Thank you for your help, man. Hey, really appreciate everything you've been doing.
Happy to be here. Still mad about the snow day conversation from yesterday, though.
Oh, get over it. People are giving me so much grief.
Snow days rule.
Oh, and that was such a Monday edition right there. Hey, we'll do this again tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll talk to you again at 9 o'clock tomorrow. Appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. And be good.